Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1143. This is your host, Danny Pena, and welcome, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of GTR. And also, make sure to listen to our previous episodes, because I've been posting a lot of content over here with Paris and P also. So, by the way, this weekend, we're going to have another episode. P is going to be joining me, but so stay tuned for that. You have some cool stuff to talk about. Can't wait. And plus, we haven't done this together in a while. You know, summer coming up, you know, it's a lot of things going on. Plus, E3 happened, all that good stuff. But just stay tuned. We have a lot of cool content coming up. Cool content. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. You could also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Oh my God, that's so many. Pocket Cast, so many apps. iHeart, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser. There you go. That's a lot of apps out there. But anyway, listen to us. Make sure to follow, subscribe, and also post a review. It will help us out so much. You got this, all right? And if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment, which we've been getting a couple of voicemails and emails, but we want more. I want to create a full episode of just fan mail. But it all depends on you guys. Send in your questions, your voicemails, and this is how you could contact us to be part of fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, for this week, I have something cool that I recorded last week I recorded this. This was on Twitter Spaces, and it was hosted by Xbox. So they had Aaron Greenberg and also P. Hines from Bethesda, and they had a great conversation behind the scenes of everything that happened during the week of Xbox Game Showcase, and also talked about a little bit about the extended show, everything. So it's a great conversation. Not a lot of people probably heard it. A lot of people missed it because this was a live session. So I had an opportunity to record it, to put it here on the podcast and share it to you all, the listeners. And plus, listen to it, enjoy it. Make sure to share it with your friends if they're into the gaming or just Xbox. And please let me know your thoughts about this. I think it was a great conversation, all behind the scenes stuff, you know, from Aaron and also P. Hines. So. But yes, so I'm going to play it right here. And once we come back, I'm going to wrap it up.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Pete Hines in the house.
Well, I'm trying to be in the house.
I'm like, I don't have any more stories I can tell, Pete. So that was a good
You were
timing.
Doing great, Greeny. I figured maybe the first Greeny and Uncle Pete show should just be you vamping the whole time. No?
I love it. What a week it's been. How are you feeling, Pete?
Tired.
Yeah, right? You and me both. Oh, my God. We're so, like, I don't think people realize, like, how, like, this is months and months. Like, how long ago did we start working on all this?
What year is this?
So good. Oh my God.
I mean, yeah. Didn't we start this last year?
We did.
On some level?
Yeah. Yeah. We technically, internally, I did the first kickoff for us with like our internal studios like back in October. So it's been 8 months. And yeah. And along the way, we went from friends to family and then started working on this whole thing together. So yeah, it's been many months of planning, which has been so fun and just great to Yeah, it's the first time we've done one of these. Obviously, you know, I've been around and done a lot of these many years. But first, we've done one of these with your team, Pete, and that made it just so special. And you guys made the show. You know, I mean, you had, you know, what a way to open with Starfield, and what a perfect one more thing with Redfall, and just some really, really great content, and just love to see the reaction from the fans overall.
Well, and it was also fun for me, Greeny. You know, for all of the years that we've done these on our own, which was, I don't know, 5 or 6 or whatever it was, and then the number that we did with you all, right? Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 and Skyrim and all of those, but we've never actually gotten to, like, I don't know, go behind the curtain, you know, for Losi and I to be able to sit in with you and Tina and Ryan and Emil and go through your other Xbox Studios content and be able to sort of see what other folks was doing. Honestly, the best part of that, Greeny, was understanding that we weren't the only ones in the spot we were in. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Like,
it's 6 weeks out and it sort of feels like everything should be farther along than it is, except 22 years of E3 tells you, nope, this is pretty much how it always ends. It all comes in at the last minute. Somebody's always scrambling to re-upload because they outputted the wrong thing. But it was nice to be able to sort of get a much wider sense than usual of everything else in the show outside of just our stuff.
Well, it was also great having you there, Pete. People don't know, but the way we generally treat our what we call our first party contents of stuff from our internal studios, we do that as a body of work. And then anything that involves our partner titles, which Bethesda would have been before, but think about like EA with Battlefield, over, we do that separately and we do it in confidentiality. So people that are working on internal titles and partner titles, we kind of have a wall up. But having you guys part of that, so having you see, you know, the Halo stuff coming in and working through that, or the Outer Worlds, I mean, having your opinion on stuff, and you guys have produced some of my all-time favorite, you know, video game assets, gameplays, reveals, you name it, you know, back to that Skyrim live action is an all-time classic.
Mm-hmm.
But then, hey, we have this crazy idea for the Outer Worlds 2, and we're literally trolling, because this is just a reveal trailer. We're going to have some fun with it. And then, like, we think it's funny, but, like, you know, you get a lot of different points of feedback. But then to say, okay, Pete, tell me, like, does this work or not work? And you were like, you loved it from the beginning. So that was helpful.
Look, I just thought it was really self-aware and funny, and it had a good tone. And quite honestly, it was also the, like, hey, listen, we've all been there. Like, we worked
right
in this industry a long time. You have some times where it's like, well, we want to talk about our game, but the game's not ready for that yet, and like, how are we gonna handle that? And I just thought the way Obsidian approached it was really clever and fun and different.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Well, and we've always wanted to do a thing like that, right? We've always said, like, man, it would be so fun if we could, like, with the wah sound and the lens flares and, like, you know, and somehow we're now in charge of things and, like, making our own stuff. So we're to kind of, like, you know, it's been great to see that, you know, Phil and other folks just, you know, really empower us to make a lot of, allow us to take some creative risks. And so across the org.
The other part that I really enjoyed, Greeny, was getting to see, like, I mean, that Forza stuff was just off
them. Right?
Off them. It was crazy. I remember the first time, Greeny, we looked at the riverbed thing and we were watching it. And, you know, so folks understand, a lot of times when we're doing reviews, we're just looking at the asset, right? So in the case of a demo where somebody's talking over it, when we review it, we don't usually do that. You just watch the asset to see, like, hey, how is this coming together? Sort of what is it doing, or what is it telling, or what is it trying to show? And so I'm just looking at a riverbed, like, well, I assume here they're talking about how they took pictures of all this thing, and here's some footage from the riverbed. And then the cars went by, and I was like, wait, that was real? Because there was no explanation. I hadn't seen it before. I was like, holy crap, that was real? That's the game? Oh my God, this game is off the hook. Like, it's ridiculous how good it looked.
Yeah, the Forza team, the Playground team, they always deliver. And it's like each release, okay, how are they going to raise the bar? What are they going to do differently? And when we learned they were going to Mexico and they had gone down, and you heard Mike talk about how you know, all the photogrammetry and how they're like scanning like the cactus so that they, you know, they know that they're accurate and like that level of detail to be able to build that and show that running in the game is just,
by the like, way, I've never seen photogrammetry like probably saw a 100x spike in the number of people Googling that word and what the hell it means after that demo. Bunch of drama.
Yeah.
What the hell is photogrammetry?
Yeah, but yeah, that's it's amazing to learn about the process and how they scan stuff. And they used to do that, you know, even with motorsport, they would do that with, you know, Nürburgring or, you know, some of the more classic tracks. But now in a really an open, you know, an open world game like Horizon, you know, you want to be able to capture the diversity of Mexico. So, yeah, that was super fun. And, you know, and a lot of that stuff shapes like where do we put stuff in the show? And so, you know, it's what a great next gen showcase. Excited. We have that officially announced for the 9th of November. And yeah, a team that delivers, and we have to remember every dev team around the world, whether it's our internal studios, the Bethesda team or third party part, no one's in the studio. They're all working from home. Mm-hmm. So the conditions to which people had to work this year to pull together all those assets, you know, people put in a lot of extra effort. And so just want to thank and recognize like every developer, creative director, you know, person in the community. Like there's teams of thousands of people around the world that make these kinds of things happen. So it's just awesome that we could do that.
Well, and Greeny, just to highlight that, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, the devs are working on this stuff. And by the way, usually not in conjunction with getting the game entirely done. Because like what you need for the purposes of a demo is not always aligned perfectly with what do we need to be doing today to get this game done. But, you know, you've got folks like QA who have to go through and rev builds and QA like, hey, we think we fixed the lighting, but we need a ton of people to go through and, you know, check and see all of the effort on both sides is just enormous to do.
So true. There's so many little details like the music licensing or the people that edit, you know, like we have specialized house that will do game capture and edit stuff, or, you know, we work with folks like GNet on things, or, you know, there's just like, there's so many people around the world that, or the contraband reveal where it's like, okay, we really want to make sure we're working with the creative directors and the designers of the game so that when we do a more serious reveal, that it is truly reflective of like this open world co-op, you know, kind of 70s heist style game that Avalanche is making with us and getting those details right. So, yeah, it's
by the way, Greeny, I mean, I do want to
this is
out.
We have the best jobs in the world, so I'm not complaining, but I just want to make sure that. I always feel weird when it's like you and I up here talking, but like,
yeah, and you sort of missed the thousands of people that made all of that happen across the board.
Correct.
So absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And the other thing, by the way, the other side of this that we should also mention is, look, I will confess, it is way easier and less stressful to do that part recorded. Because it doesn't involve 3 days of rehearsals and doing it over and over to make sure, please God, let the one time I do this live not suck.
Totally.
So getting recorded is awesome, but I'll tell you what, it is just nowhere in the vicinity of doing it with people there. Like, and being able to.
Yeah,
like,
the energy of the fans.
It's such a bummer to, you know, because there's zero energy. It's camera guys and tech people and like, you know.
I'm cheering for you.
Greeny are over there cheering before the start, and I'm just like, please, you're not replicating 3,000 people clapping for something or like being excited, just general energy. It is totally. Very different from that.
So people don't. Maybe we should share a little about that background. Might be interesting for people to. Yeah, your point on the live versus pre-recorded is a great point. I mean, we're like. You know, you and I are not like, you know, gymnasts. Like we're not trying to land the routine perfectly. And if you're in a live event, you only get one chance to do it once. So there are some nice benefits to that. You know, no audio cuts out. Just technically, you know, it was always you build the show, but then technically will it run or not? So knowing that it will run and that we're looking at like every detail and making sure it's right. Is a sigh of relief.
Well,
but,
and it's things that people don't think about, Greeny. I don't even know if you came the year we did it because our show was always right after yours by some amount of time when we were in person in LA. We sort of would space it out so that folks could make it from one to the other. But one year we had like the top left part of our giant screen just stopped working for some period of time, right? So it's not just like remember everything.
And you can't stop. You gotta keep...
Right. What are you going to do? Like it just went out and everybody's looking at each other like, do we reboot the whole system? Like, is it going to come back? And I don't know. It didn't do this once in 400 rehearsals, but it decided to do it live. Like, not having that stress is awesome. But it is a pretty big trade-off, I admit, for, you know, getting to see folks beforehand or hell, even afterwards, just being able to pour a glass of something and cheers like, okay, we survived. It didn't kill us, even though it tried. And, you know, the experience of that as well with everybody you work with and not getting that is also, it's a pretty big.
So the fun. Yeah. I love that. I think the fun story for people behind the scenes is like what you know, you see, we wanted to recreate that stage to make it look like, you know, kind of E3 and we have an amazing production team led by Tina Summerford, who Pete's talking about, who really leads a lot of that production. And she has an incredible team that does that. And then I sort of point with my team on all the content and the stuff that goes in the show. But so what people don't know is, so we had the Bethesda team fly out to Seattle. We actually, if you've ever been to PAX West, to the convention center that's in downtown Seattle, it's vacant right now. And so we built our stage there. And so we basically in one of the giant halls there, built that whole stage and had it up for, gosh, over a week and close to 2 weeks, you know, with all the load in and everything. Mm-hmm. We saw the photos of it being built and whatever. So that was kind of cool to have that place and, you know, sort of locked down. No one could see it, that kind of thing. And then you do try to keep stuff confidential. And then, but then to have you guys come out, you know, Todd Howard and Pete and Aaron Losey and other folks on your side, That was nice having you guys here. And then obviously Phil's here and Sarah Bond's here and, you know, Matt Booty and the rest of the other folks were here and on set for a number of days as we were doing all the filming.
Well, and actually, you know, Greedy, it's funny, but the best part of that whole trip was like I got to see three people that I see almost every day and have seen, you know, once or maybe twice in the last 15 months. I mean, Todd and I have worked together for 22 years and I, you know, I've seen him like twice in the last year and a half or whatever it's been. Like it was weird for it. Like, hey, we're looking forward to just seeing each other and catching up or, you know, having dinner together and just getting to chat face to face instead of over Teams or whatever.
You really miss the people that you work with. It's so true. And when Phil and I made the trip out to Rockville, for the round table, that was also really special and to be able to do that and to see you and Todd Howard and Todd Vaughn and other folks on the team there, you know, in person is just, there's no replacement for that.
No, for sure. And I'm glad people enjoyed it.
Hold on. They've given us a list of things. We haven't followed any of the instructions.
Wait, have we started yet? Or is it just you and me?
I think we're just rambling.
Look, I told you, I took today off. This is my wellness day. Because I'm just, this dog keeps waking up. This little puppy that we finally adopted keeps waking up at 2 a.m. and thinks it's playtime for the next 4 hours. So I'm getting like no sleep. And today I just hit.
So great.
Okay, I'm taking the day off. So I am not
good for you. Good for you. No. I'll try to act professional, Pete, the best that I can. So I think one for people that don't know, I'll just say like what a wonderful human being Pete Hines is. Getting to work with him and the team, how much they care about the games and the people and like all the detail. It's just so inspiring. In addition to that, we are on Teams calls almost every single day, sometimes multiple times in a day. But Pete also fosters dogs, and if you follow him on Twitter, so that's kind of like the fun delight is like watching these like adorable dogs that he fosters. And then you had one that had a pretty rough
he had been
puppyhood.
She had been had not been treated very well before she got to us.
And now you've kept her, right?
Yeah. Well, she it's just like. It took us so long to get her to be a puppy again that we just decided we just could not risk turning her over to anybody. And that she was finally getting comfortable and coming out of her shell a little bit and learning to trust people, which was not a thing when she came to us that she was inclined to do. And just decided, okay, well, if we can have three dogs, we can have four dogs. So I guess we just have four dogs now.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I just
need
her to sleep when it's dark and be awake when it's light. You would think that would be a natural thing, apparently.
See, but that's the thing. Like, when we were all working in offices, I never knew, like, that you know, you just would never know that. You never know people's animals and pets. And, like, it's just this, like, we're kind of getting to know, like, more about people because we're just, like, staring at their houses and their backgrounds and their significant others and, like, all that stuff, which has just been kind of fun. Okay, we should probably talk about games. People probably don't want to hear us ramble. Yeah. Can we?
Where do you want to start?
Just for a minute, can I just say, like, the amount of love for Layla and Redfall, like, has just been so awesome. And I actually was in a chat the other night, and there was two, Jasmine from Riot and then Rochelle from Black and Pat, both, you know, just super incredible Black women in gaming, and one's a developer and one is a content creator. But they just went on and on and on about what it meant to them to have not just a character, but like a lead character. That,
who's awesome,
you know,
by the way, right? Because let's be honest, sometimes lead characters are like, I don't even know if I like this person. Layla is just eminently likable and fun and interesting. Yeah. And what is going on with her sort of abilities and story and past? And I honestly, I like all four of them, and I love the diversity across all four of them. And it's something Arcane is really, really good at. If you go back and look at, you know,
see, that's the thing I was going to ask you about. And they were saying, like, we love her hair. And I've seen, like, a lot of people posting stuff, like, side by side. But, like, I mean, there's pretty intentional detail here to get things right with this character. And I imagine that this was something that Arcane Austin team, you know, put a lot of passion into. I don't know how much of that you can share, but any background?
Well, it goes back to if you think about what Arcane has done to date, you know, Arcane Austin, and to remind everybody, there's two Arcanes. We sort of talk about them as if there's one, or at least we used to. We started talking about them separately because what Arcane Leon does, which are the folks that made Dishonored 2, and they've partnered with Machine Games on some projects, and now they're making that Deathloop game for that other thing.
Which also, Deathloop looks great, by the way. Yeah, mad props to Arcane. They're a great
but
team.
Redfall,
you're right, the two studios.
But Redfall is being done by Austin, and their last game was Prey, which allowed you to play either as a male or a female AAPI character. If you look at Dishonored with, like, Death of the Outsider, where you can play as a Black woman. So they've always, you know, or Emily as a strong female protagonist in Dishonored 2, they've always been really good, and it's been a big thing that they've pushed on, which is representation and showing a lot of different diversity and different kind of characters anyway. But I think what they hit here with Devinder and Layla and Remy and Jacob, sort of how they're both different from each other, both as roles and as well as personalities, is something I think folks are honestly going to have a lot of fun learning more about.
Well, I remember the first time you showed us that asset, and we were like, oh my god, I mean, you could just see, like, the abilities and the characters, and there's such a, like, it just looks like a game you want to spend a lot of time with. And it was one of, I mean, I felt like it was one of our surprise announces of the show, and that's why it felt like that perfect one more thing.
Saw Greedy how quickly, like, we were already seeing, like, Layla drawings, or like that one woman did that amazing cosplay. I think it was on TikTok where she, like, transformed into Layla with the hair and the outfit. And I was like, you know, you love to see that stuff because, to your point, it's really clear that the team has created a character that just resonates so much with people. And it's a refreshing, and it does your heart good to see, you know, even just immediately how much people are able to connect with different characters in a game that strike a chord with them. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think, like, our games and our lead characters in our games should look like what people look like and should look like our customers. And so there is, you know, admittedly, there hasn't been that type of representation and diversity and inclusion with video game characters. We're seeing a lot of improvement now, but still ways to go. But it's nice to see it. And anyway, the game looks great. What a fun reveal.
And yeah, I see we've got some of the stuff here that surfaced up, which is kind of cool about Spaces. You can actually look at the tweet. So if I can pivot from that to the opening of the show.
So we're going from the end to the beginning.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Started from the bottom. Now we're here. So if we go like, this was kind of a no brainer that like we talked about early on and we never, cause you know, in the process you change your mind about a lot of stuff, but like from the beginning, we're like, what if Todd came out? What if Todd, like instead of, what if it's Todd and he just comes out and shows Starfield? Like it's like that table where you're like, prove me wrong. Like mm-hmm. There's no way there's a better idea than that. Right. And like that thing stuck from beginning to end. And what a fun way to open the show. And people like that asset, like hopefully people read it carefully, but that's in game.
Nobody reads. Like,
people didn't believe it was in game. They're like, that can't be in game. It says
nobody reads anything and nobody listens to anything I say. Like we just, I don't know why I spend so much time worrying about like writing things a certain way. And then nobody bothers to read it anyway. They just read somebody else's summary of it and go, oh, that must be what he said.
See, that's the curse of our jobs, Pete. We try so hard.
We put it on there so you would know, hey, this is in-engine stuff, all game assets. Like, in one ear, out the other. Didn't hear what
you said. And then they were like, I like the Starfield, but it was too bad. It's not CG. Like, it's not a CG. Like, we do CG. We get it. You know, like, peace. If there's a, you know, like, we'll take the CG hit on a CG piece. But, like, that was, and the team... And obviously, you know, we've seen more of the game too, so we know what a special thing that they're creating. But
it's also sort of a connective tissue wise. Like people sort of wonder, like, how do all of these studios at Bethesda, like, why are they all? How did that happen, right? Because Arkane and Bethesda and id, you know, they don't make the exact same kinds of games at all. But things like that, the sort of representation or like be who you want, create whatever kind of character you want in a BGS thing and go off and do what you want. Like that for Starfield is the thing that I'm most excited to get to. Right. Like I think we did a nice job of setting sort of tone and vibe of the world. And I love seeing people who sort of poured through all the interiors of the ship and notice all the little touches. By the way, I got to pronounce his name right, which is Estevan. Estevan Pelli is our lead artist on Starfield. Folks should be familiar with him. He's been at Bethesda Game Studios and has been the art director on any number of things. I think I just called him lead artist. Like I said, I've taken the day off. He's the art director. But he goes through and like every button has to have a purpose and like things would be broken or people would have taped stuff. You know what I mean? Like he's so into the grounded reality of I'm not just BSing my way through this cockpit. Like I want it to be real and functional and a thing that if you were sitting in this chair would feel like what you would expect. And I honestly just can't wait to build from the tone to the detail part. That game is
gonna agree. And have a date, calling the shot, and I mean, like you said, it's the first new world that they've created in 25 years. But and I can brag a little bit about this, but you know, Bethesda Game Studio is like has won more Game of the Year awards than any other development team in video games. So
is that right?
What a and the fact that you know like this I mean I don't know I don't want to overhype it, but I'll just say I think this is going to be one of the truly most special games made of this generation, and I cannot wait to follow it from now to then. I will say I do have to share one little funny, like people would never see this, and hopefully I don't upset Matt Booty by this, but after we saw the asset,
I know where you're going.
Matt Booty sent this email to Todd Howard and copied P to myself. I'm just going to read it. It's so good. It's great. It gives you a sense of just like the culture and the vibe and how we just have fun at what we do. And it says, we had a code name for the game, which I won't share. And it's to Todd. I noticed that when the pilot starts the pre-ignition sequence, he doesn't purge the auxiliary back pressure tanks until after the fuel pump spins up. You can see him throw the switches to engage the EGT and the oil cooler over tip monitors, but no Axe BP tank purge. Took me out of the moment a bit.
This is one of the most Matt Booty emails of all time.
So good.
So great. But so what's good. Even better is Todd's response.
Yeah, good catch, but he actually throws a, quote, flight check override at 120 to cover that. And he puts in prints, yes, for real. So, like...
We thought of that. We knew what we were doing in the startup
sequence. So good.
And we actually have accounted for that. Like that you're right. Like that exchange to show A, that where Booty's head is at when he's watching this, is he's actually paying attention to those switches and like, hey, this wouldn't actually result in a successful launch. And then Todd pointing out, actually, he flips this thing over here, which basically shortcuts right. The rest of the sequence. Yeah. But that's the thought that goes into it on both ends. Like they're literally being challenged on, hey, that didn't seem like an authentic startup sequence because of this thing. Both that Booty would even think to notice that, and then Todd knowing that we had already accounted for that and it was, in fact, authentic is, I think, part and parcel of the detail that goes into these games to make them feel like this is a real place. I mean, you heard Todd to start the show says, look, it's about it's the transportive ability of video games. And it's really tough to transport somebody if the rules of the world don't feel believable. You know what I mean? Or at least they're unbelievable in a way that's believable, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, and I'm definitely getting like kind of 80s sci-fi vibes and like just the art style, just everything about it, even the key art. Like I can tell just the care and detail that you guys have put into this. I just can't wait to like, what we showed looked amazing. And by the way, in game, in case you didn't see the notes, and then, you know, we have a date and, is the game coming to Game Pass? I couldn't remember if we called that out clearly or not.
I have to go back and check the end cards to see whether or not around to mention it, but I do want to remind folks, Greeny, that we put out a second video after the showcase later, like another tone piece. And so if folks watch the showcase but maybe haven't been following Play Starfield and missed that, we did another little piece that we just didn't feel like was right for the show. But it's another thing that sort of sets the tone for this team and their first big new IP in 25 years and like what a big throw this is for them and why. And it gives you a little, you know, you get to see some more key art and some more of the game and kind of get a better sense. So if you missed that after the Uncle Pete and Greeny show is done, or even during, you might want to go find that and check it out as well. I think it's worth taking a look at.
That's a great point. And the music also just gives you the feels. And I know that Todd and the rest of the team there just puts a lot of effort into that. And so, yeah, very, very, very excited.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, we're going to continue with the show, but first, let's talk about our sponsor, Pretty Litter. I have a cat. His name is Nico. I love him so much. I love cats, by the way, for years since a kid. But as much as I love my cat, I'm not fond of the stink bombs they leave behind in their litter box. Everything from cleaning to covering up the smell is a constant battle. That's why I use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter is a kitty litter reinvented unlike traditional litter. Pretty Litter's super light crystals trap odor and release moisture, resulting in dry, low maintenance litter that doesn't smell. Let me tell you, my cat is known for this. He'll go and use his litter box from other brands, and it's a constant battle. There's dust, smell, all kinds of stuff. I'm not a big fan of that at all. So I got curious about Pretty Litter. I got it for my cat, my mom. I gave it to her because I wanted to see the process of him using this. And it's been fantastic so far, man. Love it. Love it so much. And guess what? Pretty Litter is virtually dust-free. Dust-free because it's manufactured with a specialized de-dusting process. That means less dust and no fuss. Plus, Pretty Litter arrives safely at my door in a small, lightweight bag that lasts up to a month. Now that I get litter bags auto shipped, I don't have to deal with last minute trips to the store, and the shipping is free. My favorite part of the whole thing. But above all else, here's why Pretty Litter is a pet parent's hero. It's a health indicator. Pretty Litter monitors my cat Nico, his health, by changing colors when it detects potential underlying issues You won't find that kind of innovation in conventional litter. Guarantee. That's crazy. That's really, really cool. Love that so much. But look, GTR listeners, this is your opportunity for you to get the world's smartest litter without leaving home by visiting prettylitter.com and use promo code GTR for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com, promo code GTR for 20% off. We'd like to thank Pretty Litter for sponsoring Gamer Tag Radio.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Okay, what was the next thing we're supposed to talk about? I think the fridge. We were kind of already told the fridge story.
I think you were you were vamping on the fridge because I couldn't figure out how to make technology work on a Thursday. So sorry about that. Again.
It's all good.
And we talked about Forza, I think.
We did talk about Forza. I will say it was nice. We have a great industry. A lot of people create a lot of great stuff. So don't want to diminish efforts of others. Working on words today. But to see Forza win, you know, best of show or most anticipated game of E3, I can't think of a time that an E-rated game or an exclusive first party game has done that. So that was really special.
Awesome. And congrats. Congrats to that team.
Yeah.
Because that game is my brother. I don't know if I've told you this, but my brother is a massive Forza guy, like massive, like participates in those online leagues where they do the races that take hours and all. Like he's a car nut. That was just so impressive. I'm not a big driving game person because I stink at it, but I am absolutely playing some new Forza.
Yeah, well, the thing about Forza too is that we find like the people that play the game aren't necessarily what you would call driving racing enthusiasts. Some of them are, but a lot of them just love open world games or games they play with their friends or stuff that kind of takes them, you know. I mean,
yeah,
not a lot of people are going on Mexican vacations this year, but like you can do it now in Forza, right? So there's just an appeal of the game and the franchise.
I'm more of a miss the turn and go careening down the cliff kind of driver. Okay. Is there a place
you can do that too? Okay, you know, good. You can drive backwards, you can over the cliffs, whatever. Whatever,
I do really well in any game that has like a crashing mode. Like if your game is all, you know, burnout and, you know, slow-mo crashing, I can do this. I'm good at wrecking. How many people do you want me to take out in the process? Because that I can do. I just can't navigate a course and complete it.
That's awesome. Well, we did win, and we did win also, I guess, the best conference or show of E3.
That was nice. And again, it's one of those things like for all of these people who have worked so hard across the board, it's nice to see their efforts get rewarded like that, because it has just as much to do with, you know, setting up camera shots and audio mixes and everything else as it does me standing up there like an idiot reading off a prompter.
Totally. Yeah, and I made the awkward joke. We were going through like the – so we saw a record. Most people watch – so the most watched show we've ever done before was last year, the July Game Showcase that we did. That beat all previous E3 records. So this year, this show pretty significantly exceeded those numbers. So we had record viewership. I think a lot of that is just anticipation, but I think, frankly – putting the Xbox and Bethesda brands together as like the must watch event. We try not to overhype it because the pressure is always high, but it was great to see people turn out and then see the response. Right. I know Jeff, I see Jeff Keighley's here. I see Clobrile here. We got Tom Warren, but I know Jeff always does the, you know, gamer wide, you know, kind of letter grade, and, you know, a lot of stuff out there gets D's and C's. And, you know, I'm always like, hey, if we have a really good show, you know, we might get a B, you know, and to have a year where we got an A is pretty exceptional. So that's just great to see it resonating so well with fans. To which I made the awkward joke of like, we were going through results with like Phil and Matt and Sarah. I'm like, well, okay, I guess I have employment for another year. So, I think we're good for another year, Pete.
We did it.
One more year. Yep. Yep.
Have we talked about Halo yet?
I don't think we did. No, we have not talked about Halo.
Can we talk about some Halo?
Yeah. I called this section internally Return of the King, just because it was like, you know, like the team's been working so hard. And man, I will tell you, like, we saw how great multiplayer was coming together. And we're trying to figure out, hey, what makes sense? We want to like show a little bit of the story and the depth and what makes that special. And so the spacewalk scene, and then that scene with the Cortana AI, mm-hmm. just gives you the feels of like what makes Halo so special, right? And I think you just never underestimate the story. And so many of us have grown up playing Halo over the years, and seeing Chief and seeing how visually the armor on Chief and how great it looked. It was great. The Bonnie and Joseph did a great setup. I thought Joseph, awesome having Joseph, you know, back on the team as creative director EP on the project. Mm-hmm. And then the multiplayer reveal, which was like kind of the big reveal we had planned for this beat. Seems like it's been landing pretty well.
It has. My youngest son, the one who just graduated from high school, was like, oh, everybody on our, you know, on the chat is just freaking out about Halo multiplayer. And oh my God, we're all going to play it. Which ironically, by the way, between Halo, Forza, and Flight Sim, which we haven't talked about, but let's just throw a shout out to Flight Sim and how amazing that game looked. But all three of them look amazing, and I am terrible at all three of those things. I can't keep an airplane aloft to save my life. My kill-death ratio in any Halo multiplayer is going to be at or approaching absolute zero. Like, it's just it's pathetic. Like, they all look so amazing, and I'm terrible at all of them. How is that possible?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, we actually went in. We've been going in a little bit and doing some play sessions. So I played with Phil and Matt a couple weeks before the show. And it is fun to like see the vehicles and some of the new weapons and stuff and to get hands on with them and then like see them in the asset as well. So that was pretty fun. But yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. Hold on. What was that about playing Halo with Phil and like, what?
Come in. You just got to come to Seattle, Pete. Like we do these play sessions.
We're in meetings all the time. You didn't think like, hey, maybe Pete would like to check out some Halo.
Okay. This is the awkward moment where we clearly forgot to invite Uncle Pete.
Okay. I'm going to remember that when you ask, hey, when is the friends and family Starfield testing?
Oh, okay. All right. Listen, we will open the vault, whatever you need, Pete.
Hey, Pete, when can I jump in and play Omen with you? Like, oh, really?
Yeah. We'll make it all happen. We'll make it all happen. But I also want to give a shout out to the 343 team. I know they've been working incredibly hard building a game of this size. Again, also remote. And I thought the Vidoc, you know, the multiplayer overview that they put out on Monday, you know, just talking about how the battle passes will never expire and just the approach that more around customizations and, you know, some of the AI voice and multiplayer and things, just how they're thinking about stuff being cosmetic and all that, I thought was super well done. And in fact, that asset day before yesterday, it's all a blur now,
exactly.
Was the number one trending video on YouTube too. So, seems like that's been, anyway, Halo's back. It was a great week for Halo. And we're really, I'd had a chat with a one-on-one with Bonnie yesterday, Bonnie Ross's studio head, and team's just feeling really great. And, we got a lot more planned. So looking forward to rolling out the rest of the campaign between now and holiday.
Can't wait to see more. Can't wait to play it.
We will make that happen. Sorry, I won't mention.
Look, let's be honest. Okay. There was no free time leading up to this thing where I'd have been like, sure, I got plenty of time to jump in and play Halo. Like, doesn't matter how much I want to.
That is true. We did get one dinner. We had a lovely dinner with you and Todd and Aaron and folks. Let's see. We sat outside. It was like a sunny day in Seattle. That was nice. I enjoyed that.
Fantastic. And again, just like how many folks on your team that we, you know, or at least I've been sitting in meetings with for 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is, and never met face to face. It's just weird that seeing people face to face is the exception and not the rule. I look forward to that not being the case. What else did we cover?
I think, we're supposed to cover Outer Worlds, but I think we already did that. So we kind of went way out of order. We don't follow instructions very well, Pete, but I think it's all right. I thought it was also nice to see just the continued focus on adding more content and growing the community for Fallout 76. The Pit tease, that was very, very, very cool.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very Fallout thing, by the way. I love when, because you don't get to do those a lot, right? Usually when you get to do something like that with Fallout, it tends to be at, you know, it's your first reveal, right? If you go back and look at like a Fallout 3, you know, how we first pulled back in DC and showed that reveal, those slow pans don't work always, because as you go along, folks are like, yeah, I want to see the game. But I love when we get a chance to do that sort of pull through the world and get a sense of the place. And yeah, I'm super excited for what the team's got planned around the pit.
So, and then also ESO. I mean, I know you guys, that's 18 million strong now and optimized now for Series X and S, which is great.
Got so a lot of good comments from folks like how insane it looks on there. You know, if you're one of the lucky folks who got a Series X, how insane ESO looks with console enhanced. I mean, it looks like it's running on a pretty high-end PC. So,
that's...
to be able to get that level of performance out of a console is, you know, a credit to the hardware team. It's a credit to the ESO team. It's looking and running pretty amazing. So,
On the Outer Worlds 2 trailer, do you have a favorite part? Like, are you a WAW guy? Are you a lens flare guy? Like, what made you laugh?
The part that always makes me laugh is anytime we mention, like, this will help our pre-order numbers or whatever. Because,
oh, yeah. Totally, yeah.
Because, you
know. Vast world, this should boost our pre-order numbers.
More so in my world than your world, I think. Greeny, because, you know, as a third party independent publisher for all of the time we were, you know, it's Game Pass wasn't really a thing for us, right? It's always about how are we trending and where are our pre-orders, and so like it's a laugh to keep from crying kind of thing, like how much like pre-orders and intent to purchase has been a part of my life. And how much I hate
there's the business side of games and the pressure that we have on all that. Yeah, no, it's so true.
And honestly,
which makes something like that so fun. It does.
It's probably funnier to us than it is to other folks, because like we're the ones sitting in meetings where people are bringing up that stuff and like massaging our temples, trying to wrap
the WAW got me every time. I mean, when something makes me generally laugh over and over and over, and you had a line that I don't know if you remember it, but you had a line at the end that we had in for a bit, we pulled out. Do you remember like what that, do you remember your line that you suggested at the close? It's not in the trailer, but you had kind of a fun line.
Yeah, I do remember. Did they actually consider including it? Do you want to tell everybody what it
they
was?
They did. They didn't end up, because there was a point where you're like, you know, trying too hard. But I forgot what your line, I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head, but I know we didn't put it in the trailer. You had a fun suggestion.
Yeah. I don't think I want to say it, because it's probably going to come back to haunt me. So.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. It was something about, something about giving you a release date, but you know,
we changed it anyway.
Funny. There we go. Yeah. So, but it didn't need it. It was funny enough as it was, but I just thought that that you just jumped right in.
I mean, we essentially said it without saying it, right? Like,
we did. Yes. Yeah. And listen, I mean, a real talk is the Obsidian team is world class. They have multiple teams in the studio. They work on multiple games at a time. So, you know, there's, you know, a team working on Grounded, and there's a team working on Avowed, and there's now a team working on Outer Worlds 2. And so, and they just continue to output just great, great stuff. I thought the Grounded trailer was also really strong.
It was. And that game's doing amazing, by the way. Like, the number of people playing it, my son was telling me, like, I'm not scared of spiders, but the spiders in that game scare the hell out of me. And the number of people who
The arachnophobia mode is definitely needed.
He said I turned it on almost immediately because it was scaring the hell out of me.
Okay, so what did we not? Oh, there was a great. Well, we should call out that tweet from Tom Warren. Tom, you are a gifted man on Twitter. He's here, but he had that line where I think it was something like, "There's one more thing and it's exclusive." It was just like so well written. I don't know if we can
It's one more thing, and it's Xbox exclusive, right?
Yeah, let's see if we can get that. I think it's loading.
Signs on it.
There we go.
Attaboy, yeah. Time.
So anyway, while that's loading up, the Game Pass Day One bumpers, we had quite a few of those. And then there it is. One more thing, and it's Xbox exclusive. So that was fun. And fun to have that as a one more thing moment. And Tom nailed it with his tweet. So
attaboy,
Tom. We're now reading tweets. We're reading with like a poetry reading. We're going to read Tom Warren's tweets.
Well, look, big picture, Greedy. Again, just from my perspective, this was a bit of an odyssey for Bethesda because, and I'm not telling this to you. I'm telling it to everybody who's not you. Like, it putting together a showcase is really determined by one thing and one thing only, which is what are the games got, right? Which games are where and are ready to show what? And, we went through a number of iterations on how we thought we might best approach a show or doing what it is that we wanted to do, and ultimately felt like, you know, our best path forward was doing something together with you all. And that is such a huge thing to undertake. When you have two companies and in particular teams like we have, where folks have been doing it a very long time within their own teams, and suddenly you throw those two teams together and go, okay, like now you got to do it together. It's a little bit like an all-star team, right? Like you don't have that familiarity of going through this over and over again and understanding, like, you know, not wanting to tread on each other's toes. And I just think the way that our two companies work together up and down the organizations was so good. And as I said to you, it's not because we all agreed on everything. Like that's kindergarten stuff, right? Like that's not how life works. Get a lot of creative people in the room. There's a lot of different ways to approach things, or maybe we should do this. And just the way in which we were able to collaborate together to be respectful of what everybody was trying to do and accomplish. You know, as you said, we spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, our players, our teams, you know, our fans, and how to do right by them. And the way that you all enabled us to do that and enabled us to come in and participate with you, I just thought it was such a great moment for our companies and a real example of why I think we do so well together. You know, it's not a coincidence, because we said, hey, our cultures are very similar and we can be even stronger and better together. And to go through a show like that and not only not be ready to like wring each other's throats, but to be like, man, that was good. And like, I'm already thinking about ways we can do it even better next time. And I'm just so looking forward to continuing to work with you and Tina and Ryan and Emil and all of the amazing folks on your team that have been so collaborative with us. I think this is going to be so much.
Yeah, that's so well said, Pete. And, you know, the creative process is really interesting, but I think we really do make each other better. And I felt that we ended up with a better show, not just because your guys' content was in it, but you guys were part of the process and would push us on stuff, and we could push you on stuff. And that mutual respect, it just ends up with such a better end result. And I do want to just take a minute and thank a lot of our third-party partners. Like, you know, Battlefield had their gameplay reveal. You know, Far Cry 6 asset we work close with Ubisoft on. Stalker 2. Oh my God. Like that. And that's why we had that big gameplay, early in the show. That's just such a great, you know, that's, we call those console launch exclusives, but also coming to Game Pass, PC and console. So, you know, great partnership with them. And so, yeah, just a lot of stuff that Somerville looked good. Replaced was a sleeper hit. I know both Phil and Jeff Keely and others, you know, were tweeting about that.
A lot of people talking about Replaced and like that being on their radar. And again, before we go by it, that Battlefield stuff looked terrific. Like that looked awesome. Once again,
working on that game. Like four studios are working on that game.
Well, you can see it because they got a lot in that game and it all looks really good. So can't wait.
Agree. And they showed another piece today that I thought was also excellent. I know you had your day off, your wellness day.
I have not looked at Twitter today. Sorry, Twitter. Everybody decided to freak out yesterday because I said I'm sorry to somebody who was upset. I decided maybe we all take a break from each other, except for this.
It's all good. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. But you know what? Let's close on this. The tweet's up. Look at this. Phil Spencer wrote a note that I think captures the week well. Let's read it. Thank you for a great week. Our most viewed E3 ever. We haven't felt players and the team sharing so much winning excitement since the 360 era. That is so spot on. And how appropriate, because all the cool stuff we did back in that era together between Bethesda and Xbox. Mm-hmm. We're inspired by the community's belief in Xbox. We'll continue to innovate with players at the center of everything we do. Just put our hearts into it. And man, what a great way to wrap up the week. And thanks.
What a shock that Phil summarized it perfectly.
Oh, I know. Everything. Have you ever wondered, like, if mouth, Phil is exactly God, as so he smart. Appears?
He's totally right. Like, yeah, I love getting to get insights from him, and it's been fun following. I pay way more attention to him now on Twitter. Which, sorry, Phil, but it's just true.
Well, we have to, because he announces stuff we didn't know we're announcing. So Phil's like, he's so transparent, and he just he's always just. He's very active with the community, and that's what we love about him. He plays everything. Everything. You know?
He got me so into.
Like I showed those photos when we were flying together. We were flying together out to the Bethesda headquarters, right? Like he's just grinding away on Destiny or whatever, he's going on and on about Brothers or like whatever thing he's playing at the time. Right now, he's like super hyped about Psychonauts 2. But it's just fun to see. He's just like us. He's just like every other.
He is definitely one of us. Like, man, that guy knows. You talk to him about Elder Scrolls Online, and you cannot bluff Phil on ESO. Like, he knows everything about that game or whatever it is.
Oh,
like,
big time.
It's really fun to work with somebody, to have somebody at the head of the organization that is such a hardcore, legit gamer.
Fun. Well said. Well said. I do, just because I'm looking at the folks in the audience, I know we're just about at time, but big shout out to Paris Lily, who hosted the extended showcase today.
Hey, Paris.
I got to watch him do that. Great.
But I didn't get to say hi to him while we were out there. But I always love seeing him. Hi, Paris.
Yeah, he did a really great job and an incredible integration moment, his ongoing beef with Khalif around who can barbecue and who cannot, that has totally blown up.
I love those guys.
And then, and shout out to Brad Sams, who was the one who sent me the tweets like, wake up, Greenberg, you're losing to Skittles, man. You got to break out the mini fridge. And I was like, that's a great point, Brad. So, I literally made a phone call that night and was able like, okay, if we win this, can we officially green light the mini fridge for this holiday?
Yes.
And we literally made that call that night. So So fun to see other folks here. And then even in Exiles here, and they took the show off. We know they're working on other stuff too. Mm-hmm. So Maxi from Germany, just say thanks to everyone that came out. It's been a really fun week for the team. We really try every year to come out of these events and build on them and make them better each year. And this year just really, really had that kind of special feeling. So, holy crap. We got a lot of games coming between now and holiday. We have 5 first party games coming, day one, to Game Pass. You saw that calendar visual we put out.
Crazy.
A couple of them, just stuff that's coming. I saw Clobrile tweeted out this list of everything that's day one this holiday. No shortage of games, and just thanks everyone for all the support.
Times ahead, Greeny.
It is. Yeah, and we get to do it together, Pete, which I'm really excited about. So, I think we have. Do we do everything we were asked to do?
In various and sundry orders, with several curveballs thrown in there, just to keep Stein on his feet, because we didn't want him to get lazy or bored over there. But thanks to everybody who tuned in to our idiocy. We hope you enjoyed it. And thanks again for tuning into the showcase. Most importantly, we appreciate everybody checking out all the stuff that we've been working so hard on and our teams have been working so hard on. And now we just got to go back and finish all those things so you can play them. How hard can it be?
It should be easy. On that note, I'll say a special thank you as well. And just remember that,
how hard people that are working in gaming right now are doing, whether on the dev side or on the marketing side or wherever they may be. Just be kind, treat people with respect. We don't always see that on social, but it's nice to see more and more of that. So just thank you all for all the feedback. We welcome the feedback, so good or bad. But just remember that making games is hard, and this is a love craft for a lot of us in the industry. And so it's fun to be able to share this. We will be online. We'll be interacting with people. We'd love to hear any other feedback or suggestions. Thanks. And thanks to the Twitter gaming folks for helping us host this as well. Mm-hmm. I think we could do one of these again sometime, Pete. We've officially done our first Twitter spaces together. So until
then, we broke the seal. We're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, everybody.
Anyway, take care, everyone.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
And that was Twitter Spaces with Aaron Greenberg and P. Hines, all about Xbox, man. That was crazy. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed it. It was really cool. But let me know your thoughts. Like, hit me up on Twitter, Discord, or just hit us up, fan mail at gamertagradio.com, and just send us your thoughts about all this. I think it was a great conversation. And I'm going to be recording more sessions like this in the future for you guys. And yeah, can't wait to hear more of this type of content, you know, because I feel like conversations like that gets me so curious of like, oh man, I want to know, how was it, the process of working on a showcase? How was it to get certain people involved? It's really good. It's really, really good. So, but no, head over right now to gamertagradio.com and listen to our past episodes. We have tons and tons of content, over 1,000 episodes. My God, go over there, listen to it, and make sure to post your review on any podcast app. Look, you subscribe, you follow us, but also post that review. It will help us out to climb on top of the charts, because now there's activity out there, you know what I'm saying, from you guys, the listeners, supporting GTR. Now, if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, fan mail segment, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. And thank you so much for listening to episode 1143. We'll be back next week with more content, more discussion, and more, only here on Gamertag Radio. Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.